really eager about today's talk. This is a big idea I heard probably 2 years ago from Tyler Stanton. He was teaching on prayer at a conference. I came across this somehow, and I was like, and for the last 2 years, I've been trying to put into practice, metabolize this one idea. It's all I want to share with you, largely shaped by Tyler Stanton. These are my words. I didn't copy his sermon, but that I was really informed by what he said. And so may this also be true for you. And it's been cool. Let me just make it a quick note. It's been cool that a lot of the speakers have said, like, here's a revelation that has, like, made the biggest impact on me in prayer. And they've all been different things. There's so many different revelations about prayer, so many different ways that God's at work in this body of believers. And so for some of us today, I hope this is a good word for you. Let me start with a story. So last year I went to a funeral. It was my wife's grandmother, Betty. She'd been married for over 70 years to Gerald. They both at this point are passed. And it was such a beautiful legacy that was being celebrated by family, community, so many people showed up. And as the family was clearing out the house, they came across this letter. I've not been able to read the opening line yet without crying, so we'll see if I can do it now. But I want to read you this opening line written by an 87-year-old man after marriage. I think at this point they're married 68 years. I love you, Betty. Yep, here we go. I mean, I've probably read this 10 times just in trying to get through this letter. I love you, Betty. You are my sweetest, the sweetest girl I ever knew. And I cry every time, because there's something so pure and beautiful and good about a love that I've been cultivated for 70 years. And I come across that and I feel like, doesn't there something resound in all of us? It's like, I want that. At the end of my days, may my kids find love notes that I wrote in my 80s. And may there be such a sweet love that people can't stop talking about it at the memorial, like what we experienced last year. So the question I'm gonna start with is, how do we get that? It's not a talk on marriage today. But how do we get that in a relationship with God? Like Gerald, he was still writing letters. There was something he kept doing. He kept pursuing. And so I want to consider this in a relationship, that this one idea that Tyler Stein talked about, and that is fidelity. What does fidelity mean? It is the faithfulness demonstrated by continuing loyalty and support. It's, I want to be with you, demonstrating lots of little choices day after day, ordinary day after day, year after year. Lots of little choices that communicate, I want to be with you. God, I love you. Gerald would, every time we have dinner at his table, I mean, the last time I had dinner with him, he was like 91 before he passed. He was still talking about how awesome his wife was. Like, he would just publicly praise her all the time. That's fidelity. And then we'd go in the living room, and sure enough, Carly turned on the news, and he couldn't take off his shoes because he had grown big in his older years, and so he couldn't bend over and get his shoes. So every night, his wife, Betty, would take off his shoes for him, and then you get these knots in his calf, and she brought those out. Fidelity. Just little things, faithfully over and over again, to communicate, I want to be with you, that I love you. Jesus cares about fidelity. He says this in Revelations, Revelation 2. Yet I hold this against you. You are forsaking the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. So when we first fall in love, whether it's in a romantic relationship with a future spouse or when we first fell in love with Jesus, any needful, closely connected relationship, there's things that you do to pursue. There's ways that you, there's practices you keep, whether it's communicating love through your words of affirmation, or it's spending quality time together, or it's giving gifts. There's lots of different ways we communicate love. And I believe that's what Jesus is calling us as the church, is to don't lose what you first did when you encountered the love and the relationship with me. So, what does fidelity look like in a relationship with Jesus? Tyler Stanton says, it's prayer. St. Augustine, a theologian, considered like one of the greatest theologians of all time, said, true whole prayer is nothing
but love. It's a love note. It's acts of service.
When I pray, it's like spending quality time together. Sky Jatani, another author, he wrote this, that prayer is much less about communication and much more about communion with God. It's less about what I have to say or how I say it. I'm in a space where I lead groups of people on a regular, and I'll invite people to pray, and the first reaction is like, oh, nope, no thank you, because we have inside of us, I don't know how to pray real well out loud. I don't know how to say the words maybe the perfect way. But really, it's more about in that moment, the communion, the connection that we have with God. I think all three of these guys are trying to tell us the same thing, that God's love language is prayer. That the way you can spend quality time with God is in communion through prayer. My wife and I have discovered that if we want to be best friends, if we want to have this marriage that's been modeled before us by Gerald and Betty, that we have to have best friend time. That's what we call it. And so every night, it's this fidelity of practicing. Every night, we're going to sit on the couch, we're going to talk about our day, and we're going to talk about what's on our mind. And sometimes that takes 20 minutes, sometimes it's 60 minutes, sometimes it's the whole evening, and we can really just connect, but it's easy to miss. And there's nothing like super exciting about best friend time. It's not like going to an Avs game. It's not like you ever watch a really entertaining movie together, but it's just the really simple, ordinary having conversation, the fidelity, and that is like prayer. Prayer can sometimes feel boring. Prayer can sometimes feel like not this big excitement, but it's the important piece that we need to cultivate this close relationship with God. The early church's way of practicing fidelity was keeping a rhythm of prayer. Psalm 55, 16 and 17 says, "As for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cried out in distress, and he hears my voice." So rhythms of prayer is a prayer time in the morning, the afternoon, and at night. And the church had this rhythm that they practiced it. Jesus, as they study his life, historians believe that he went to the temple three times a day. And then you see it modeled by his followers in Acts chapter 3. The disciples were heading to the temple for after meeting prayer. And they stop, and that's where a miracle happens. But there's this rhythm of prayer that the early church kept, that they were committed to. And before the early church, it was practiced, as we see in the psalmist, with for thousands of years, the people of God have done this. And so Tyler Stan makes the point that the early church experienced a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And they also were more committed to a rhythm of prayer. And it's not by accident. There is a correlation then. That like if we continue to, what if we kept a rhythm of prayer as God's people? And so that's the question I came across 2 years ago. What if you kept the rhythm of prayer and you pray in the morning, the afternoon, the nights? And this has been the thing that has cultivated the most communion between me and God. The simple practice, the discipline to be like, to stick with it. And so this is the really. In the morning, pray the Lord's Prayer. The three that I'm going to give you, this is so beautiful, I feel like how the Lord brought this together, are the three most recent experiences here in this prayer is. Yesterday, Carly talked about the Lord's Prayer, but line by line talked about it. So in the morning, take your time, pray the Lord's Prayer. Secondly, at lunch or sometime in the afternoon, step away from your desk, maybe if you can, go for a walk around the neighborhood and pray for three. This is the time to pray for the people who don't know Jesus. So you have your pray for three cards, you walk around the streets of your neighborhood and you pray. Maybe it's just you go sit in your car if you don't have space to do that, but we make time in the afternoon to pray for those who are not following Jesus. Evening prayer is examine. This is something Marie did on Friday of last week. We did it, had this examine experience. Examine prayer, there's lots of different models you can Google. It's basically just a prayer of gratitude and an evaluate the day with the Lord, being present with the Lord. And so, Bell City, I would love to invite you onto this challenge to join in keeping the rhythms of prayer, morning, afternoon, and night. And it's not always easy. Like the morning, I have a day packed full. I have a task that I want to jump into. So I'm tempted every morning. I've already read my scriptures, or I've had some time with the Lord already, and like, let's just jump in, let's dive in. And this, the discipline is coming, like, you know what's more important than productivity? Communion with the Lord. And then in the afternoon, I'm like, that one's just easy for me to forget. I don't feel tempted not to do it. I just don't easily remember. So I've learned to put a reminder on my phone. It's an appointment. 12 o'clock. If I'm driving to the meeting, then it's something I try to do in my car. If I'm not in the meeting, then I will. That's when I go walk my streets and try to pray for neighbors. Pray for my three car. And then the evening, this one is like, just want to go to bed. Just feel so tired right now. What's 5 minutes going to cost me? I'm not even listening to sleep after just 5-10 minutes. So that's been a little bit of the discipline needed, but it's but if we do, if we keep the rhythms of prayer, I believe
that fidelity will fill such a great communion with the Lord. All right, family.
Are you going to a personal time of prayer? I'm going to pray for us as we do. Our Lord,
we want to speak your love language. We want prayer to be less about communication and more about communion, about being close to you, being near you. Would you lead us in that way, Holy Spirit? In Jesus' name, amen.